This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome in, everybody. You are listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. To kick off this show, we are chatting with the business editor of the Epoch Times, Valentin Schmidt. With Valentin, we typically cover what's going on in China, and we will do that in the first segment, and we are also going to have him back in the second segment to talk more globally economic factors that are influencing the markets as well as central banks. So, Valentin, let's start off by talking about a recent article that you published that addressed some comments made by Kyle Bass, where he says, we are seeing a Chinese machine breakdown. What are your feelings on this comment?
Well, I happen to share his opinion that, first of all, there is a problem, and Kyle Bass mentions that, you know, many institutional investors and the mainstream press, they don't get what's really happening in China in terms of the debt and the misallocated capital. And what he, in that interview, said that basically now a lot of the things that he saw before subprime and also the euro crisis, he sees them happening in China right now, because you can have a lot of debt for a long time and nothing happens, but eventually you will see some problems. And he didn't really go into too much detail, because he said that's kind of like, that's kind of proprietary, but I can, you know, add my own 2 cents to that. So first of all, so he mentioned the defaults. There's a lot. Defaults are much higher than they were last year. Up until a couple of years ago, there weren't any defaults, and I basically said that in 2014, when the first company defaulted, that's a huge game changer for China, that there are actual defaults and people can lose their money. Second, the interest rate, the real interest rate, is now much, much higher than the growth rate. So as long as you have enough growth and enough credit growth to service the debt, then you can maintain a high debt level. Now the GDP growth is probably around 2-3% in reality. Of course, they will report tomorrow around 6%, but even if that is true, the average interest rate, according to my sources, is 8%. So you have a 2% deficit, which inevitably leads to more defaults, bankruptcy. Okay, so you have the defaults, which is still only in the low double-digit figures, but you have bankruptcy cases in the thousands now. Chinese courts are handling much more bankruptcy cases than before. So you have all these symptoms, and you have these massive amounts of shadow banking products rolling over, and there's really not much that the central bank can do at this point in time. And then you have the massive capital outflows still happening also on the official side. They seem to be moderating. But if you look at what private citizens and companies are doing, then I really don't see that happening. The slowdown, people are still trying to get as much money out of the country as they can.
Now, Valentin, talking about some of these bankruptcies, we've thrown around the idea that the central bank is trying to almost do a controlled pull down. They're not letting every company go bankrupt, but certain companies and certain sectors. Is it possible in your eyes that they are testing out the market to see if they can let a couple select companies fail, while maybe that distracts from them propping up a number of other companies?
Oh, that's a good point you're making. Yeah, I mean, you know, China, and that's also a point Kai Bass makes, is absolutely true. It's not like, you know, of course we think it's like still like a communist state, but even within that, you know, state capitalist control economy, the local governments pretty much do whatever they want, and it's still like a policy of favoritism, where some companies get better access because they have connections to the CCP and some don't. So that will always happen. And that's also what I have always said, is that the Chinese have a great opportunity to use the state banks to just basically roll over bad debt pretty much forever. There is no... Or even if a company defaults, you know, basically say, oh, that's, you know, too bad. But it still won't be bankrupt or will go out of operation. So that's what hasn't happened. Despite the defaults, companies really shutting down and going out of operation, at least not in large numbers. And until that happens, you keep having these what they call zombie companies. And you can have it for a long time, but it's just not economically efficient, and the money has already been wasted. You know, all the money they plowed into shipyards, and now I think the shipping orders are up 50%. I don't know what they need more ships for. The world, the Baltic Dry Index is at a record low. There's the ships lining up in Singapore to offload the gasoline, and now in New York. So that money has been wasted, so you're not going to have a lot of growth, and so you can either write it off and close down the overcapacity, that would be the quick and painless solution, or you let it rot on the books until, you know, 20 years from now, and after inflation, that is worth as much as it is right now, which is probably 50 or 40 or 30% of its par value. And so they have that choice perfectly, so they can avoid a financial crisis. What's certain, though, is if you have a low amount of inflation, and you have bankruptcies or a combination, then people won't want to hold those shadow banking products, and they won't want to hold the banking deposits, because one thing's for sure, you're not getting your return on it, the promised return, the 8 or 10%, you're not going to get. And that's why people are still moving their money out, and even Chinese companies are moving their money out.
Now, Valentin, I want you to address two different topics that I think are related here. Yes, last weekend I had on Simon Hunt, who covers China as well as the copper industry, and he was saying that he thinks China is going to start stockpiling copper at a much greater rate than they claim to already be. But when you compare that to the falling Chinese yuan, where does the central bank stand in terms of protecting its currency, but then also potentially doing what Simon said and continuing to stockpile base metals?
So this is interesting, because actually if you stockpile base metals, and if you buy, real estate in New York, or if you buy European soccer players, basically then you have an asset that's not denominated in yuan. So I don't know if he was talking about the public or the private sector, but if the private sector does this, it makes perfect sense, because they want out of the yuan. Same way that they're buying gold, same way that they're propping up silver, Bitcoin. They just want to get out of the Chinese banking system. So if you can have an asset, a copper asset, that may go down another 20-30%, that may still be better than having a Chinese banking product that goes down 50-60-70%. Plus, or, you know, staying stable, and then the yuan goes down 50%. Because then the copper in yuan terms goes up, even if it goes down in dollar terms. So that makes sense to a certain extent. Whether they're using their currency reserves to get out of the dollar, I doubt it, because relatively speaking, the dollar is a stronger bet at this point in time than almost any other currency. I mean, still paper currency. It still has the inflation or the devaluation embedded through all the massive QE. And now they're talking about helicopter money, but you know, relatively speaking, the dollar is okay. They need stability in their exchange rate more than they need, at least the public sector, than they need copper stockpiles. Now, I'm offering this as an explanation. It's basically, so you have Chinese companies, they want to buy copper, they need dollars. So they're selling the yuan, and who gives them the dollars? It has to be the central bank, because they cannot trade in the open market. So that's why the exchange reserves at the central bank level go down. And actually the foreign exchange holdings of the people, the private sectors, go up, and that's the same what happens if Chinese appliance maker buys an Italian soccer club. That's exactly the same process. So it's more like a shift from public sector to private sector foreign exchange holdings.
Well, Valentin, we will be having you back on next segment, and I want to talk about that helicopter money that you alluded to that central banks around the world continue to chat about. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Valentin Schmidt. We also have Al back in the recording studio with us. Valentin, we ended the last segment with a promise to talk about this term that's being thrown around by a number of different central banks around the world, helicopter money. Before we get into the different banks and what they are discussing, what is your definition of helicopter money?
Oh, so helicopter money is an extremely interesting concept. Basically, it's the real money printing. You see, many people thought quantitative easing is real money printing, but it's not, because what are you doing when you're doing quantitative easing? The government issues debt with a coupon, you know, interest payments that gets bought up by the banks in exchange for bank credit. And then they sell it to the central bank in exchange for reserves at the central bank. So all you're doing is expanding bank credit, and then it's basically the banks who decide what they do with it. And they usually, you know, pump it. And so it goes through the bond market. It goes through the capital market system. So it ends up mostly in stocks, commodities, whatever the banks want to spend it on. It doesn't go to the people, to you and me, who would spend it on, you know, whatever, bananas or gingerbread. So what's the difference? And plus, you know, those things have to be paid back. You know, the bonds expire at one point on the central bank's balance sheet, and then this whole expansion naturally reverses. Of course, we know it's rolled over and stuff like that, but you have a coupon on it, so you also have to pay interest. So that's basically why the QE boosts asset prices and doesn't really boost inflation. Now, why did real money printing, like in Weimar Germany, really create inflation? Because it was literally the bank printing the notes and then handing it over to the government, and they just handed it over to the people, and they then spent it on whatever they choose to spend it on. So that created inflation. And helicopter money is essentially the same thing, because the way they want to do it, they're still going to do it through the central bank balance sheet. It's not going to be paper notes printed, but probably they're going to take the banks out of the equation, and they're going to make the debt perpetual. Now, what is money in today's society? Is a US dollar bill is money. It's perpetual. It's a liability of the Federal Reserve, but it never has to be paid back. And they're going to do the same with the helicopter money. So the government issues, let's say, a zero coupon bond, which has no maturity on it or maturity in 100 years, and puts that on the Fed's balance sheet, and then it gets real dollars in return. They may still have to go through the banking system, because the only thing that the Fed can give them either is real printed cash money, which then the government could mail out, or the government would sell the zero coupon into the banking system. They would give it credit, and then they would sell it to the Fed and get bank reserves in return. The point is that the government can expand the national debt by, or spend money on stimulus and transfer payment, tax cut, go lo and behold, tax cuts, without actually really emitting debt that has to be repaid. That's the point of real helicopter money and money printing.
You know, there are some people who would argue the fact that so far helicopter money, i.e. money printed out of thin air with absolutely no asset backing to it whatsoever. So far, that particular exercise, a number of people would argue the fact that it's worked so far in the United States, in the sense that it has saved us from a major, major depression, perhaps. The fact of the matter is, I think it's really long-term a flawed system. And the reason I believe it's a flawed system is everything has to have intrinsic value. Money printed out of thin air based on virtually goodwill, etc., has absolutely no intrinsic value, I would argue. What do you think?
What's the value of money? That's interesting. I mean, the system is flawed, yes, so that's true. But what's the use? What's the purpose of money? It's to serve as a medium of exchange and a store of value. And mm-hmm. I know you like gold, and I also like gold too, because it has these properties, but in theory, there's nothing that says that money printed by the government, not in the form of debt. You see, that's the other good thing about gold, is not a liability, whereas cool. The money we have always is debt, is a liability of somebody. The dollar notes are a liability of the Fed, you know, the treasury bonds are a liability of the federal government. That's always a problem. Now, I think the way the Constitution works, my personal interpretation is that the federal government can print up money or use notes or use gold coins to coin money, and then in theory there's nothing against the federal government printing money that's not a liability of the federal government, but it takes its worth as a medium of exchange. But how does that work? It only works if the money serves the purpose of supporting the economy. That means the money that's printed up and spent has to have productive uses. So if you waste it on transfer payments, like they did in Weimar Germany, and nothing is produced against that money, guess what? It's not going to work. It has inflationary consequences. However, in this country, I'm making, and this is backed up by some researchers, if you printed up 10 trillion and just completely renewed the nation's infrastructure, roads, trains, airports, planes, electricity, you know what? That's productive. That increases productivity and should not lead to meaningful inflation in the long term.
Well, one of the arguments of the recent QE programs, and we do need to make a distinction that QE programs that we have seen in the U.S. recently are quite different than helicopter money, simply because the QE programs of the U.S., the money has gotten almost trapped in the banking system and is only being lent out to some of the bigger companies, and then we're only seeing those companies buy back their shares. So this money is not being productive. Do you think if we do see some helicopter money, where money actually lands in the citizens' hands, will that help out with any productive type of spending?
Well, it's all relative, you see. So where in principle this is obviously a financial shenanigan, but relatively speaking to the QE, which you know is going into New York luxury real estate, which basically is a massive bubble. If the federal government takes money from the Fed and then slashes taxes in half, would that be productive? Absolutely. Relatively speaking, yeah, that'd be relatively better than the quantitative easing.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm kind of in the camp that says we're in desperate times right now. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Of course we should rebuild a house and start over. There's no question from a theoretical standpoint that that's what needs to be done. But I would maintain that even if there is a 5 or 10% chance that what the governments around the world are trying to accomplish is accomplished, I would say that that is probably better than the assured event that would happen if they did not take this particular avenue.
Well, Valentin, we do need to wrap it up on that. And you know what? Hopefully the banking system can manage to get itself out of these issues. But right now, it's sure not looking good. Valentin, we appreciate you spending 2 segments with us. Everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back with John Kaiser.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. Al had to step out of the recording studio, and he left me to chat with John Kaiser of Kaiser Research Online all by myself. So, John, we always bring you on, and I like to chat about junior companies because you follow, in my book, the greatest number of junior companies, and you know pretty much exactly what is going on with a number of these companies. This segment, I want to focus on gold companies and gold production in North America, and more specifically in the U.S. To start it off, before we talk about any companies, can you give us a recap of where the U.S. stands in the world for gold production?
Well, the world produces about 89-90 million ounces. The biggest party is China with 16%, followed by Australia 9%, Russia with 8.5%, and then the United States with 7.5%. And what's truly amazing is that 85% of the gold that America produces comes from Nevada.
And there are a number of companies in Nevada. One quickly that I would like you to touch on is Nevada Exploration. You brought it up to us before, but the company recently raised some money. Now this story might be back on track.
Yeah, Nevada Exploration Inc. has interested me for the last 6 years because they've come up with a new exploration method involving golden groundwater, where they sample the water in the basins of Nevada And Nevada, northern Nevada, is broken down into basically mountain ranges separated by valleys where the rock was down-dropped and filled with sediments. And the big Carlin-type gold deposits were all put in place well before that dropping down of the valleys happened. So there's potentially half of the gold has been hidden artificially underneath this cover of gravel that's very difficult to see through. So what these guys do is they just go sample on grids in the valleys, and they look for these geochemical anomalies of both the Pathfinder toxics and gold, and then they focus in with the more traditional exploration tools like a geophysics and scout drilling. And they tried that for 6 years, and they ran out of money. That bear market killed them, and they had to be reorganized last year with a nasty 10-for-1 rollback. And they just finished a $1.75 million financing. They now have fuel in the tank, and they're about to resume exploration using an improved truck-mounted Scorpion system where they can also collect bedrock samples. So this story is finally back on track.
Well, as you mentioned there, John, Nevada Exploration is traded on the Venture Exchange under the symbol NGE. It's interesting to see this recent financing that Nevada Exploration undertook was oversubscribed, a trend that we are seeing in some companies. Some of the companies that are garnering a bit more attention are able to not only raise the money that they were aiming for, but have an oversubscription. Let's move to a different part of the U.S., though, and talk about Midas Gold. It is in Idaho. What do you think about this company, John?
Midas Gold is my favorite gold optionality. They bit the bullet earlier this year with doing a 35-cent financing, $55 million. It was dilutionary, but it brought Paulson & Company on board as a major stakeholder. And they are in the permitting stage of putting the Stibnite project, which is gold and antimony, back into production. It is in Idaho, which is perceived as a difficult state to permit. But the project is the old site for mining tungsten and antimony during World War II, and they didn't care. It was like a national necessity to have tungsten and antimony available for the war effort. So they made a mess of that. And what Midas is doing, it's really proposing a reclamation project funded by a gold mine. So there's a lot of skeptics who think the NGOs will block this, but there's also a good reason to believe that, hey, you want to clean up this area, restore the salmon migration into the upstream watershed that's been blocked for 50, 60 years, put this thing into production. And by the way, if you're watching the increasing tension between China and the United States, especially in the wake of this recent decision where the UN said that China's nine-dash line claim is BS, that it's not real, and of course the United States launching a WTO complaint that China has been restricting exports. China is the source of 85% of the world's antimony supply. And this is a critical metal. It's a boring metal. It's used as a fire retardant. But if for whatever reason China stops shipping that to the West, there's going to be a lot of pressure to get Stibnite into production quickly. So I like the company. It's gone from 35, 40 cents where it was at the start of the year. It's over a dollar now. And I see a sort of a $2 target and eventually a buyout on this story.
Well, interesting comments on Midas, which is traded on the TSX under the symbol MAX. John, let's switch it to another company that we have covered on the KE report before. The company went through a little bit of hardship in terms of cash in the bank, but they recently raised some money. We've seen a nice pickup in their stock price. This company is Adamara Minerals. They have their properties in Washington State. What do you think about Adamara and their recent progress?
Well, about four years ago, Adamara rebranded itself as a gold explorer in northeast Washington on the premise that this region has interesting gold potential of which only a fraction has likely been found. And if you catch Mark Kalibaba with time on his hand, he'll start explaining to you why this area geologically is a treasure that deserves exploration. So they've been in there acquiring ground. They have the Oversight Project, which is near an existing mine that Kinross owns, a mine that's depleting. But they drilled in that in the past few years, but didn't quite get the hot intersections that suddenly has money pouring in the door for delineation drilling. Ended up down there at 2 cents. All the management's salaries were accrued. Nobody was getting paid. They looked like a classic zombie company. But This is an example of the market discovering a junior that has a very interesting story that's down and out. They bit the bullet and did a 2.5 cent private placement, issued lots of shares. So there are parties there who have incentive to make this happen. That's cleaned up the debt, put some money in the treasury. They're now digesting some 6 cents warrants that got an accelerated expiry. That'll be done in about a week or so. And they're going back in their Northeast Washington, potential for high-grade gold discovery, and in an area that deserves to see a lot more exploration.
I personally know the guys at Adamara, and I hope they have the best of success. And full disclosure, I do hold Adamara stock. That symbol is on the Venture Exchange under the ADZ. Final comments here, John. The next segment, I am introducing a new company called Skeena Resources. They interest me because of their recent acquisition of the Snip Mine. What do you have to say about this company?
Before I do that, I should mention I own Nevada Exploration, Inc. and Adamara also. Skeena, I like. I followed them for a year now since they acquired the Spectrum Project. They've been focused in the Golden Triangle of northwestern British Columbia, where a number of profitable mines came out during the 80s and 90s. This is Ron Metalitsky's baby, with Walter Coles Jr. Being the market side of it. They've assembled a number of projects. The Spectrum somewhat disappointed last year with the resource that they ended up coming out with. But the SNIP project was what Ron worked on when he had Delaware in the 80s. It was acquired by Homestake. When Barrick acquired Homestake, they had found some, the Homestake geologists had found some additional zones. But by then, the gold price was so weak that Barrick pulled the plug on the operation. So what Skeena's doing now is going in there and checking out all those past results. I mean, this was like unfinished business. The geologists all got laid off. And I think they'll put together a decent high-grade resource. And, of course, Seabridge bought the property next door, which is the Snip Gold, project, which has all the copper gold project deposit in it. And so there's an obvious exit strategy that if Skeena can put this together, Seabridge will eventually absorb this. So I like the story. There's a lot of paper outstanding, but at least the stock has liquidity, and it has multiple irons in the fire, and it's chasing high-grade gold, which gives us some immunity to, say, gold, the gold round stalling.
All right, John. Always great having you on. I highly recommend people go check out John's website, kaiserresearch.com. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer. Only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Got a good show. We're introducing a new company right now, a company that Corey and I have an interest in, and I think you folks might also have an interest in it. In the interest of full disclosure, which we always give on this show, neither Corey nor I are currently shareholders in this company, and they are not a sponsor on our website. So nobody's paying us to say any of these particular things that we're saying. Company's called Skeena Resources. Skeena's chairman is somebody who I know all of you have heard of, and that gentleman is Ron Nadolesky, Miner of the Year, all kinds of accolades in the mining industry in North America, and then Walter Coles Jr. Walter is very plugged into, spends his time both in Manhattan and in Vancouver, and is very, very intimate with some very serious fundraising people in the mining industry. Having said that, Corey, let's talk a little bit about Skeena and what they're all about.
Well, first off, Ron, if you could give us a little background, not only your past successes, but how you got to this point, why you are involved with Skeena right now, understanding that just last year, I believe, you were inducted into the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame.
Be very happy to. I've been in the mining industry since the mid-1960s, so I'm getting a bit along a tooth, and I got into the junior exploration public company business probably in the mid-1970s, starting with uranium. Before that, I was running a fairly large contracting consulting business that was focused on uranium and any metal that people wanted to explore anywhere. And that business morphed into saying, oh, the public company sector, that's interesting. You know, people gave me shares and gave me options, and next thing I knew, I made a bunch of money, and I said, oh, this is even better. So that was sort of where I got into the junior sector. The first success we had was with a company called Delaware Resources. Delaware went through a very tough cycle, which is very normal in our industry. And I took about a year and a half searching for new property to get in it. And fortunately, the one that's now our lead story came into front, and it was called the STIP project. It was owned by Cominco. This was in the periods when gold was still at $41. They had a high-grade discovery in northwest BC. They had found it in 1964, had trenched it in 1965, and virtually no work came into place till we drilled it, and I believe was that 86? Walt, I always get the dates wrong now.
85 and 86.
And what happened was after the first year, the first set of holes were good enough to take the thing to a discovery category. I think out of our first 12 holes, 8 or 9 had excellent intercepts, including up to 50 feet of half-ounce type intersections. So it was a start. That ended up having Delaware taken over on a hostile around $10 to $12 a share. And the next year, the stock hit $29 with Murray Pesum. I was still involved with the company for several more years, and it became Prime Capital. So our intent is we want to take projects, improve them, and we want to explore and expand on them and find other people that are mine operators.
I've been investing in people, not in necessarily mining assets, but in people. And over the past 35 years, I've done okay. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, would you?
Yeah, sure. My background is I started my career in New York working for UBS Investment Bank. Worked there for approximately 7 years. Been a hedge fund my role was focused on investing in natural resources, minerals, oil, and gas. And then I left the fund to go work on a project on some family farmland down in Virginia to develop a mineral resource down there. And it was through that project that I met Ron Nedelitzky, and I learned about his incredible career and, you know, a track record that he has of making shareholders incredible money by basically starting companies, venture capital finance companies, starting them with $5 million market cap, and miraculously managing to sell these companies for hundreds of millions, if not more, within a 3 to 4 year period. So, you know, I consider it a tremendous honor to get to work with Ron and learn from Ron. And I think that in Skeena, we have Ron's next big success. You know, we've got the cycle right. Gold prices are going up. We've got three tremendous projects that all have the potential to do very well for our shareholders.
Now that we have the background on the management team, Walt, let's dive into some of the properties that Skeena holds. I know that one has interested not only our audience, but also a number of analysts that I've talked to, and that is the Snip Mine that was previously held by Barrick. Can you give us a little background on how you came about acquiring Snip and also some of the, I guess, past production that has come out of that mine?
Sure. So the overall strategy of the company was to be contrarian, to go out and buy assets when everyone hated the sector. And you can only get your hands on really good things during the darkest of times. And I think that's what we've succeeded in doing with the first three projects that we have that we've managed to acquire. SNP has certainly generated a lot of enthusiasm. It's a past-producing mine. It operated from 1991 until 1999, and that was during a period when the gold price was declining from $400 an ounce down to $266 an ounce. So it was a difficult time for mining gold, and as a consequence, the Snip Mine required a very high grade to be profitable. The average grade mined was just short of an ounce per ton. The cutoff grade in 1991 was 12 grams per ton, and by 1999, the cutoff grade was up to 20 grams per ton. A lot's obviously changed since the year they had to shut this mine down in 1999. Today, we've got a gold price that's around $1,350 U.S. Compare that to when they closed the mine, it was $260, roughly, dollars U.S. per ounce. So we've got a much higher gold price environment. And our thesis in wanting to acquire this property is that there should be lots of mineralization, lots of gold still at the Snip mine that wasn't economic then that would be economic today. We estimate that, given the significant improvement in infrastructure, as roads and electricity nearby now that didn't exist back then, that we might be able to have an opportunity to go back in and mine with, say, a 5-gram cutoff per ton. So we have the advantage that, the previous operators did 280,000 meters of exploration drilling. We think that in today's dollar terms, that's worth about $40 million. In addition, there's underground workings that, we can take advantage of, which we estimate would cost us approximately $30 million today if we were to try to put that in ourselves. And the beauty is we acquired this project for basically $150,000 up front. You know, I've had analysts say to me, if ever there was a layup, it's SNIP projects, and we got very lucky to be able to get our hands on it. From Barrick's point of view, they were the vendor of the property. I think they just viewed it as too small of a historic mine for them to take the time and energy to work on it. They have an ongoing environmental liability. So they were spending, I think, about $75,000 a year in water sampling and environmental monitoring that was basically would go on forever unless someone else came and took the project off their hands. So we were able to cut sort of a win-win deal with them, and it entails a $2 million commitment to earn 100% over 30 months. But once we acquired this property, or the option for this property, and started looking at the data, we were so blown away by the historic intercepts. I mean, things that are like 95 grams over 4 meters. And it's not just one. It's tens, if not 20 or 30 of these types of intercepts that have convinced us, let's go ahead. We expect to spend the first $2 million in the next, I would say, 6 weeks. So we're moving.
A little longer than that, Walt.
Well, I should say 6 weeks from when we start drilling.
Yeah.
So we expect to get the permits to drill in the first week of August. And I think we're just tremendously excited. It's not just us. We recently announced a financing. We announced $6 million. I think we're going to close $9.5 million here in the next week. So a lot of investor enthusiasm, primarily institutional investors, but we did have $2 million of retail demand on this latest round.
That was just a brief preview on the management team and one of the properties that Skeena holds. There are also a couple others, including the Spectrum property and the GJ property. Both are in BC's Golden Triangle. If anybody has any questions for Ron or Walt, please feel free to email Al or I directly. Skeena is not a sponsor on the website. Al and I do not hold shares in the company, but it is on my radar, and I am curious to see how the rest of this month and summer plays out for these guys. Stick around, we're going to be right back with the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
To a professional trader in precious metals, the key is spot price. Spot price is market price, what gold or silver actually costs on the exchange. Regular people looking to invest never get spot price because resellers add fees for everything. Refining, minting, brokerage costs, commissions. The public is never offered spot price until now. In a limited new customer outreach, JM Bullion offers you the chance to own a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, commissions, markups, not even a shipping cost. Now, through JM Bullion, own the most real investment of all at real cost. Not a piece of paper from Wall Street or a bank. A 10-ounce bar of silver at spot price. That's a solid investment. But you must act now. Go online to realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. That's realpricesilver.com. Realpricesilver.com. Limit one offer per household. 50 United States only.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. And this could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.